Up next is an interview recorded via Skype with award-winning Ukrainian-Canadian author Marcia Skripik about her most recent award, The Crystal Kite, and her most recent novel, Stolen Child. I have on the line with me now Ukrainian-Canadian author extraordinaire. This is a lady who has been writing for quite a while now. I first heard or learned of her with her first book. It was called Silver Threads back in the 1990s, and since then she has gone on to write many more on a Ukrainian-Canadian theme and other genocide themes as well, and that is the theme that she chooses. Although her audience is young children and young adults, she does pick these heavy topics, but has turned out to be very, very successful and become a very popular author. She has won many awards, been nominated for many more, the most recent being The Crystal Kite, and that is one of the things that we're going to talk about with Marcia right now. Thank you so much for joining us, Marcia.
My pleasure, Paula. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, now, how many books have you published now? I've lost count.
You know what? I've lost count, too. What I say now is over a dozen. I'm not very good in arithmetic. I'm good at writing books, but not so good in counting them.
Well, congratulations on that. And on this most recent award, and we'll talk about some of the others, but the Crystal Kite. Now, remember when you had just announced it in your modest way, you always do, that Crystal Kite is, of all the awards that you've received, this one is really especially important. Why would that be?
Well, it's a peer award, for one thing. So it's my fellow children's authors who nominated me for this and then voted me. And I won it for the Americas, which is amazing. It's a world award. It's given by SCBWI, which is the Society of Children's Book Writers and Illustrators worldwide. And so throughout the world, there were 15 winners. And my book won for all of Canada, Mexico, Central, and South America. One winner. So I'm just stunned that, you know, that I was honored this way, especially by my fellow children's authors, because that's a really tough audience. You know, they've got finely honed twit filters. So, you know, I just thought that was wonderful. I didn't even know that I was shortlisted until one of my fellow shortlisted nominees let me know. And then we were rooting for each other because, you know, they like to say that children's writing is a bunny-eat-bunny world, but I've never found that. I've found that children's authors are very supportive of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So I would have been thrilled if you know, one of my fellow authors won, but I got to say, I was really thrilled when I won, too.
Indeed. Well, a lot of us are thrilled for you as well, because for a worldwide award like this, and yours was the only one in this area, in this region?
There were seven who were shortlisted in all of Canada, Mexico, Central, and South America. So seven were notable books.
Wow.
The seven were chosen from literally hundreds, maybe, I don't know, my estimate would be 400 books.
Wow.
From all those areas, because it had to have been published in 2010, but like that's a pretty broad area for all the books to be selected from.
Wow.
And so, you know, the shortlist was seven, and of those, four were Canadian. And they were all really good books, and I would have been happy if, really, truly, if any of them had won.
Wow, wow.
But the really neat thing is that to have this kind of prominence for a story that is set in World War II Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how many books have you even seen, like novels for mainstream readers, written on that topic, even written on the topic? And so for it to receive that kind of critical acclaim for a topic like that is just outstanding.
Indeed.
And that's what really thrills me the most, is that I think that it's an award for Ukrainians and for Ukrainian experience in World War II, because many people who read Stolen Child, what they said to me is that they had no idea that this happened in World War II. Not a clue.
Now, for the benefit of new
listeners who have recently discovered Nash Holos in parts of the world that that haven't heard Nash Holos before and may not be aware of what you do, who you are, and what we do here in Canada in the Ukrainian community. Tell us a little bit about Stolen Child and what is this topic. It's set in World War II, but it's a topic that even people who know about what happened during World War II in Ukraine weren't really necessarily aware of this particular the theme of your book.
That's very true, Paulette. It's about the Lebensborn program, and that was the Nazis, when they invaded Poland and Ukraine, saw that there were an awful lot of blonde, blue-eyed people. And also people that seemed to be far too intelligent to be subhuman. And so they came up with this mad idea that people who fell into their genetic parameters must not be really Polish or Ukrainian. They must really be Goths, like, you know, the old ancient Visigoths, so the lost seed of the German nation.
Sorry, Marcia, you're saying subhuman.
Well, yes, because Ukrainians were considered subhuman by the Nazis. They were not considered human. The Nazis had a hierarchy of human beings, and at the very bottom were Jews and Gypsies, and the Nazis wanted to kill every single Jew and Gypsy in the world. The ones who were one rung up were the Slavs, and that was Poles, Ukrainians, Czechoslovakians. And they wanted to kill 80% of them, leave the other 20% to be slaves. But it was always a plan of the Nazis to kill the bulk of Slavs, of Eastern Europeans, Slavic people. Wow. And also there was a differentiation between Western Ukrainians and Eastern Ukrainians. Eastern Ukrainians were considered even lower on the humanity scale than Western Ukrainians, and they were treated incredibly brutally. But anyways, when they started to initiate this program of genocide and they came to Ukraine and Poland, they found that there were these people who looked like they were German, and they didn't want to have too much to do with the adults. Because they felt that they would be too indoctrinated into Ukrainian ways. But what they thought that they could do is steal children, very young children, who could be brainwashed into thinking that their own Ukrainian parents were bandits and thieves, and stolen them, and that they could make them into Germans with brainwashing.
And so you wrote this book called Stolen Child, based mm-hmm. on true facts.
Oh, yes. And also the way that I heard about this, because how do you hear about something that has been hidden?
Right.
And for me, my mother-in-law lost half of her classmates to the Lebensborn program.
Oh, wow.
And so on her deathbed, my mother-in-law, well, I shouldn't say on her deathbed, because by that time she wasn't talking, but just a few weeks before she died, she asked me why I had never written about what happened to her and her classmates in World War II. She said, "You've written all these books, but you've never written about what happened to me, and I've never read anything in books about what happened to me." And she says, "It's like no one believes what happened to me." She said, "Why can't you write about what happened to me and my classmates?" So I promised her that I would. And about 2 weeks before she died, I did a really extensive interview with her, and that was the seed of Stolen Child. And when she did die, I just felt that I had to put everything else aside and write this book. My mother-in-law lived through two waves of Nazi invasions, and they actually took over her house. And so she had to live through that as a young child. And one day, I mean, it wasn't that they just took over the house. They didn't allow her and her mother and father to leave the house, so they basically had to wait on them, you know, cook food for them, shine their shoes, various things, right? And one day, her mother overheard that there was an action that was happening at her school. And so my mother-in-law, Lydia, was not allowed to go to school the next day. When she went the day after, half of her classmates had disappeared. And it was all the blonde, blue-eyed girls who had been taken.
As she noticed, and she noticed that at that time, the physical appearance of these students?
Well, yes, because my mother-in-law was not blonde and blue-eyed. So, yes, she noticed it, and of course, because they were all of a certain physical type that were taken. But she had heard rumors about what would happen to them, and she told me what she thought had happened to them, and she'd never heard from these kids ever again.
Wow. How old was she at the time?
At that time, she was 15.
15.
And what they were taken for was a different part of the Lebensborn program than what I write about in Stolen Child, because there were two different things. One of the things that they did was take very young children and brainwash them into thinking they were German. And with those kids, what they would do is they would measure 64 individual body parts to make sure that they were truly Aryan.
Incredible.
Like even two parts, taking calipers to measure the nose alone, two different parts. So if you had a single feature that made you non-Aryan, then you would be sent either to a slave labor camp or to a death camp. You were never sent back home. We're talking very young children, some as young as 4.
Whoa.
But what they had this other part where they had a breeding program, and this is where the 15-year-olds were taken.
Oh.
So they weren't so concerned about the 64 body measurements, but they did want them to be blonde, blue-eyed, and, you know, fairly good-looking. And they took them and they put them into another kind of Lebensborn home where they would be raped by selected German soldiers until they became pregnant. And then they would be looked after fairly well as they were, you know, the baby was gestating. And then once the baby was born, the girls would be killed. And then those babies would be taken into German homes.
That's horrific.
Well, and it's a part of history that we just don't hear about. It's just been completely hidden. And part of the reason is because as Nazi Germany was falling, the very first records that were destroyed, even before they destroyed the records about the concentration camps, they destroyed all the documentation about these children and the babies because they wanted to keep them.
They wanted to keep some? What do you mean?
They wanted to keep the children. They didn't want them repatriated.
Oh, I see. Oh, my God.
So he's like, you know, a 7-year-old, imagine, has just gone through all this brainwashing, everything else. The World War ends, and then the mother tries to find this child, finds the child, but there's no documents to back her up. And then also the child says, no, you're not my mother. This is my mother and father. The Germans, and this actually happened. Many, many parents found their children at the end of the war, and the children refused to go with their parents.
Oh, how heartbreaking.
So, well, it's just this huge thing that happened. And so what I did with Stolen Child was I took that as the background information. That's not a story in itself. This is historical information.
Right.
But I imagined a girl, much like what my mother-in-law would have been. I made her younger than that so that she would have come over to Canada as a 12-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
But that's in early 1950, 51. But so she would have been taken by the Germans and brainwashed when she was much younger than that. But she comes to Canada. She doesn't really understand her own background.
Mm-hmm.
She's with this other Ukrainian couple that are not her family. And she doesn't understand why she's with them, but they're kind to her. So the book starts out, the woman who calls herself my mother. So the reader knows right off the bat that there's something that's going on. But while she's finally in Canada in a time of security, her day-to-day experiences here as a new immigrant keep on giving her flakes and flashes of a disturbing life from before. And she tries to fit together her past sort of like pieces of a jigsaw puzzle. But, you know, if you took two jigsaw puzzles and smushed them together and then tried to make one puzzle out of it. And that's what's happened to her because she's had two distinctly different lives and she doesn't really know how they go together. And so the book is written in thriller mode. Mystery mode. So as you're reading, as the reader is delving into the story, they find out about the girl's day-to-day life. Her name is Nadia, her day-to-day life, but they also get flakes and flashes, just like she does, of the past. And so the reader is trying to puzzle together exactly what happened to her in the past as well. And it's not until the last few pages that the reader and Nadia really know what has happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the mystery stays pretty much to the end as well, because people don't know about this part of history.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like they can remember another book that they read like it, because
mm-hmm.
they're just not all that available.
Right.
And the other reason that I'm very happy that this book has done so well, it gives wider readership and also understanding to what has happened to Ukrainians in World War II. But also it will broaden the audience for my next book, which is called Making Bombs for Hitler. And that book is about this girl's older sister, who, when she went through the selection process, she didn't have the 64 body parts measuring up. So she was sent to a work camp, and she was 9 years old.
Wow.
And, you know, there were children, there are documented cases of children who were as young as 5 who had been sent to slave labor camps.
Wow. Wow. Well, that's going to, I've read Stolen Child, and it, well, I couldn't put it down.
And Thank you.
I'm looking forward to, well, that's actually the same, it's ditto for all of your books, Marcia. But I'm looking forward to Making Bombs for Hitler. Now, that will be coming out when?
Spring of 2012.
Okay. And
it's already written,
uh-huh.
but Scholastic takes a long time putting a book together, doing good editing, doing good fact checking. And so they always, I always have to have my books written for them a year in advance.
Okay. It's Stolen Child now is on the market and it's available. How can people get it?
If you're in Canada and you're a student, you can get it from your Scholastic flyer at school, or you can go into any bookstore, and if it's not on the shelf, you can just order it online. If you're in any other part of the world, only Canadian rights, we've kept world rights, my agent and I, right now. But other than that, you can order it online. I think it's available on Amazon pretty much anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Fantastic. Well, thank you so much, Marcia, for that story. Even as much as I've spoken to you and followed you in your path in writing this book, even you gave even more information than I was aware of. So thank you so much for sharing that with all of us, and congratulations on this wonderful award.
Thank you so much.
And looking forward to reading your next book.
Thanks, Paulette.
Thanks, Marcia.